Hallelujah. Let's keep pressing on as the women's choir has encouraged us. Thank you, women's choir. At this time, we're going to take a moment to dismiss for our nursery classes, those that are five and under. Our youth worship classes will stay in the service today, as on special days, we try to worship together as a family, and that the children may also be learning how to worship. So anyone that's a nursery age, if your baby gets to saying some hallelujahs with me, I would like for them to hallelujah over there with the parent and me toddler section. Thanks, you all have a outline in your bulletin to follow along with me. And what is the title of today's message? Can you pass the test? Let us pray. Gracious God, thank you, thank you, thank you for this day in which we can celebrate and give you praise for all of us who are your students and your children. We thank you, Lord, that you have taught us with your word and you have guided us with your Holy Spirit power. We pray that you will open our minds and our hearts to receive what you have for us all to learn this day. And we give you all the praise. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And the people of God said, amen and amen. Praise God. Saints, on your sermon outline is plenty of space. And if you had to write down in that space, if you had to take the moment to stop and just think back over your life, and you had to write down on any sheet of paper a list of the most exciting moments of your life. Now, the exciting moments, I'm not talking about the boring and the dull ones. The most exciting moments of your life, what would you write down on your list? How many of us would write down the birth of our child, first child or children? All right. Would anybody write down meeting your best friend? You remember when you was like in seventh grade or fifth grade, you met your best friends, your BFF. How many of us would write learning to drive? If I could put two hands up, I would. I was so excited to learn how to drive. Those of you that did not put your hand up, you must have learned to drive on time. See, I was almost 20 when I learned how to drive. I couldn't wait to learn how to drive. How many of us would put down on our list falling in love, meeting your husband or your wife for the first time? That was an exciting moment, amen. Look, if you want to have an exciting evening, you better be like Terrence and put both hands up for that question. There you go, Marvin. Many of us would write down a variety of items on our list, saints. We have had many exciting moments in our lives. But I think, saints, if I had to write down anything on my list, I would write down the night before every first day of school. Y'all remember that night before the first day of school? You know, it sounds kind of strange, but if you think about it, most kids, the night before their first day of school, they're so excited that they can't even go to sleep. My sister and I, we share a bedroom so long, sometimes I still think we share a bedroom. That's how long we shared a bedroom. But we would stay up all night, every single year, on that night before school. And we would be so excited, as I'm sure many of you all were. And you would wonder things like, what is it going to be like when I go to school? What are our teachers going to be like? Who are the friends we're going to meet? Some of us weren't too excited about meeting friends or our teachers, but we were excited about wearing our new shoes or carrying our new school supplies. But we can all agree that that night before the first day of school is pretty exciting. It may seem odd to list going to school as one of the exciting moments in our lives, but saints, we can all agree that school has been a big part of every single one of our lives. You see, saints, what I realize is that for all of us to be here today where we are, we all had to have our first day of kindergarten. Doesn't matter if you graduated high school, does not matter if you graduated college or went on to get a job, every single one of us attended kindergarten. Amen? And before we can move on out of kindergarten, we had to prove that we could at least say our ABCs, our 1, 2, 3s, and that we could identify the colors blue, red, yellow, green, black and white, maybe brown. But Saints, what I'm trying to say is that in order to move from one level to the next level, many of us have had to endure many, 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 many tests. How many of us have taken a lot of tests in here today? We have had to take spelling tests, math tests, we've taken reading, writing tests, we took a test to learn how to drive, we took a test to learn to get our jobs, we took a test to go to college, you even take a test to get into the military, Saints. We take tests determining our medical history, Saints. Anybody had to take a test for their kidneys, for your sugar level, for your eyes, for your hearing? We take tests all the time, Saints. If you think about it, from the moment that we are born to the day we die, we take tests. You see, when a newborn comes in the world, what do? They draw blood and test the blood. And then when we are taking our last breath, Saints, someone comes into the room with a stethoscope and places it on our heart to listen to test if our heart is still working or not. So we take tests from the moment we enter until the moment we leave. So why? Why do we take so many tests in our lives? Well, there are lots of reasons that we take tests, but I'm going to share with us two right now. Proof and ability. Number one, we take tests to prove that we know something. To prove that we know something. Let me ask you a question. If you were having heart problems, would you go to a cardiologist? That's a heart doctor for our young people. Would you go to a cardiologist that did not know the parts of the heart? No, you would not. Love that we have lawyers in the building today. If you was in trouble with the law, would you go to a lawyer who had never picked up a law book? No, you would not. You got real hungry one day, wanted to go to a nice restaurant. Would you sit before a chef that did not know the difference between sugar and salt? No, you would not. So tests, that's a real simple way of proving that we actually know something. So tests can prove that we know something, and the second part of that is test gives us the ability to do the things that we want to do. You know, Saints, our students' information is printed in the bulletin. It shows all of them that got the honor roll and the merit roll, and all of them that did great in sports and athletes. But if you pay attention to Kalita Sims, she's on the last page of that. She just recently graduated from law school. And as I was sitting there looking and reading her paper, it said that she is taking the bar exam February 2012. Then she adds, please pray for me. You see, Saints, what I realized when I was looking at her paper is that you can go to law school. You can go to high school and be a straight A student. You can go to college and be a perfect student, straight A's, dean's list, everything. Then you can go on like Kalita did and go to law school and you can do fantastic and graduate from Wayne State University. But if you do not pass that bar exam, I don't care how good you were, you will not be a lawyer. Amen. So let's all help Kalita out with her prayer and pray that she passes that exam. Amen, Rufus. You see, Saints, I realize that tests can be frustrating. And sometimes we think, you know, tests don't always show what we know. Sometimes some of us are, you know, we struggle taking tests. We can study and study and study and study forever, and we still don't get a good grade. But Saints, eventually all of us will have a test that we do need to pass in order to go to the next level. Every single one of us. I love listening to the young people talk about high school. And in high school, they have these OGTs. These tests have proven to be a burden to many families and many students. But what I like about the OGT, the Ohio Graduation Test, is that you can keep taking this test over and over and over again until you pass. I love that. You see, saints, the schools thought they had got rid of religion in school, but they didn't realize Jesus had that philosophy a long time ago. He keeps letting us pass the test over, take the test over and over and over again until we pass the test. You see, saints, we don't just take tests in the educational sphere of life. We also take tests in the spiritual realm of life. And with Christ, as long as we are alive, say alive, and breathing, we will never fail. Y'all didn't have to say that part. So why don't we fail? Because Christ keeps letting us take the test again and again and again until we pass. Tell your neighbor. Neighbor, with Christ, you can keep taking the test. So I know you may be wondering. You know that's right, Frank. I need to take some tests over myself. So I know you may be wondering, what test does God give to us? You may be sitting there thinking, I never even saw the test. You know those surprise pop quizzes your teacher give you sometimes? Like, I didn't even know this was coming. Some of you may think, well, is the test on the internet or something? Because I just didn't see a test that God gave. But saints, God gives us many tests throughout our entire lives. And we cannot pass the test. We cannot move on to the next level until we pass the test. You see, saints, have you ever felt that you were stuck at a particular place in life? Ever heard anybody complain? I just don't know why I still feel like I'm in this one place and I can't move forward in my life. Well, saints, the reason that we get stuck in those places is because we have not passed God's test. Ever said to yourself, why do it seem like I keep getting myself in the same situation over and over again? How many of y'all keep having the same argument at home? Like, didn't we just argue about this? Didn't we resolve this last time? Are we still arguing about it? Having the same type of relationships. You look at your relationship, you're like, man, I was in this kind of relationship last time. How'd I get back in this situation again? Having the same situations and issues on your job, having the same situation with your kids or your parents, having the same situations with your friends. You may be finding yourself asking yourself the question, why am I in this situation again? Well, the problem, saints, is that you haven't passed the test. You can't move on to the next level until you pass the test. So you still may be thinking, please, Pastor Kelly, please tell me what this test is so I can please pass it and move on. Well, there are many tests that God gives us throughout our lives, and I'm going to talk about two of those tests today. I was doing some reading in a book called From Dream to Destiny, and the author looked at the life of Joseph, who we read about in our Old Testament scripture today. And this author talks about all of humanity having to go through at least 10 tests to grow spiritually. So you see, saints, all of us are being tested all the time. But here's the bonus with God's test. When we pass the test at level one, kind of like in the first grade, we still got to take the same test again at level two in the second grade. Have you ever just taken one math test? No. You take a math test in the first grade, then again in the second grade, and on up, and the tests just get more difficult. But we can, with Christ, pass the test. So we continue to take these tests, and we eventually will graduate. But saints, with God, our learning never, ever stops. So with God, God has some tests for us to take, and we're going to look at the life of Joseph. The first test is the test of pride. And I know you probably are sitting there thinking, what pride? I don't have no pride. Well, that's pride. But the first test is the test of pride. Pride is that ugly sin that we all have. Say, we all have it. And that pride continually tests us throughout our entire lives. We deal with pride from the time that we are little kids until our deathbed. Amen? And I know some of you are still sitting there thinking, I am not dealing with no pride, Pastor Kelly, and you need to move on with your sermon because I can come up there and do a better job than you. Well, that's pride. So like I said, pride starts with us when we are very young. Look at this scripture from Genesis chapter 37, verse 2. Read this with me. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And he brought their father a bad report about them. Look at this section. Joseph is 17 years old. We all remember from the scripture reading that it says that his father had him when he was already in his old age. So that means these brothers that he is telling on are fully grown. Now, isn't that like a young person to want to go tell on somebody all the time? How do we as older persons know that? Because we used to tell on people all the time. Isn't it just like us saints that we can always point out the bad that everybody else is doing? All of us seem to have a great gift of being able to stand back and say, did you see that? Did you see how they was walking over there? Did you see how they was just talking back in the back there? Did you see how they was acting up all that way? Did you see how they did their work? That work, oh my God, I could have did a way better job than that. We always can tell when everybody else is doing something wrong. And it does not matter our age, you see, saints, because pride rears its ugly head in all age groups. Doesn't matter if you're male or female, all of us still have the same pride. But guess what, saints? As much pride as we have, none of us in the room knows everything. If you're here, please stand up, the one that knows everything. All right, good. We're all on the same team. None of us know everything. And we are all dependent on Jesus Christ, who is completely knowledgeable about every subject, saints. You see, saints, often as our pride comes out, we want to say, well, it's my opinion that, or I was just thinking that. Well, saints, if we would just pull up this Bible right here and say, it is God's word that says, saints, because we don't know everything, but Jesus Christ does. So you may be sitting there thinking, okay, Pastor Kelly, you've shown us all that we got a little pride. How do we pass this pride test? Three ways, saints. Number one, close our mouths. You see, pride always got to say something. With pride, it says, I just got to say. No, you don't. Close our mouths. Number two, open up our ears. You see, saints, all of us have something valuable to offer. Every single age group has something valuable to offer. Now, I know that's hard for us as adults to think about sometimes, that maybe our 16-year-old or our 13-year-old, they do have something valuable to say, amen. Our 5-year-old, our 4-year-old, they all have something valuable to say. And saints, just like, and our younger people, just like we as adults need to listen to you all, you as young people need to listen to us as well. You see, saints, all of us are quick to say, oh, you're just too old, you don't know. Well, many of us been down the street you walking on, and we're trying to keep you from falling in some pits in your life. So all of us have something valuable to say. All of us need to close our mouths, open our ears, and then number three, bring in a dose of humility. A dose of humility that says, I don't know everything. I don't know everything. You know, we can all take a good lesson from Alcoholics Anonymous. In Alcoholics Anonymous, they teach you the first step to healing is getting up and admitting that you are an alcoholic. So it would be like me getting up, and I'm not an alcoholic, but I'm just going to pretend for today that I would get up here and say, I'm Pastor Kelly, and I'm an alcoholic. My first step. Well, saints, in passing the pride test, Your first step is admitting that you don't know everything. So here I am. I'm Pastor Kelly, and I don't know. I don't know everything, okay? So now you say it with me. I don't know everything. Woo, it's kind of refreshing, huh? It's kind of hard sometimes to admit that we don't know everything, but we really don't know everything, saints. And sometimes if we just admit that we don't know everything, our families can be turned around. Humility can bring about some healing and transformation in all of our lives if we would all realize that we all are children of God, all with value, all with worth, and none of us know it all. So the pride test, saints, is one that we can all pass. So what's the second test? The second test is the test of the pit. What is this about being in a pit? Well, we talked a little bit about Joseph. Joseph, when he was a little guy, he received this wonderful dream from God. And God told him, these people, your brothers, your sisters, your mother, your father, they will all bow down to you. Isn't that a nice dream? I wouldn't mind getting a dream from God that, you know, showed me I was going to be some future leader and people were going to bow down to me. Well, saints, how many of us have this problem of we don't always know how to say things out of our mouths? We intend for it to come out one way, but some kind of way it comes out completely wrong. Well, Joseph had this problem, see, saints, and he had this great dream from God, and then he went to go tell his family about it, but it came out all wrong. And his pride got in the way, saints, and because of his dream, his brothers became jealous. And Joseph knew that he was going to have this wonderful life. He knew about this plan that God had for his life, but all of a sudden, instead of people bowing down to him, his brothers threw him in a pit. And when he was in this pit, it was a great big old hole, saints. It was just deep down. There was no ladder for Joseph to climb up. There was no rope for him to pull on and get himself out of this pit. It was a dark, lonely pit. There was no food. I'm always concerned about food, saints. There was no food, and there was definitely no bathroom in this pit. He was in the pit. And so what did he need to do to pass this test of being in the pit? Joseph had to believe that God could bring him out of any situation, even when there doesn't seem to be a way out. That is the test of the pit. Can you believe that God can bring you out of any situation, even when there doesn't seem to be a way out? You see, in this book that I was reading, the author told a joke, and he spoke about a man that was walking home from work. And this man said, well, I'm just going to take me a shortcut, and I'm going to cut through the cemetery. Wrong move, but he went anyway. So he went on this shortcut through the cemetery, and he fell into an open grave. And so this man was in the bottom of this grave, and he was trying his best to get out. He was trying to climb up the walls. That didn't work. He was trying to scream, help me, help me. Nobody heard him. He was in this deep pit. And after a while, he got tired, and he said, I'm going to sit down and wait for somebody to come by. Well, lo and behold, another man, the second man, decided to take the same shortcut. And he fell into the exact same grave. So the first man was sitting down watching the second man. And the second man did exactly the same thing. He tried to climb up the side. He tried to scream and yell for help, but nothing could get him out of the pit. So the first man got up, and he tapped the second man on the shoulder. He said, there's no way out. And then all of a sudden, the first man was watching the second man. He jumped himself right on out of that pit. He got out. You see, saints, God will always provide a way out. God will always provide a way out. And I know that there are many here today that you may be looking back over your life. Have you ever just stopped and looked back over your life and said to yourself, what happened? How did I get here? You think back to when you were a student. You see, graduation and promotion Sundays often help us to reflect back and look back on when we were students. And we think, I remember that God said, I have a plan for your life. a plan to prosper you and not to harm you, a plan to give you a hope and a future. And then you look at your life and you say, is this my hope? Is this my future? You see, I'm sure Joseph said the same thing when he was in that pit. Because instead of things getting better, things got worse. When he got out of the pit, his brothers immediately sold him into slavery in Egypt. Then he gets to Egypt and he's put into prison, saints. I'm sure Joseph must have stood back and he must have remembered that dream. And he thought about the people bowing down. Then he saw the bars in front of him and he said, is this the plan that God has for my life? Ever felt like that, saints? Ever felt so deep and down and low in a pit of life? And you just wonder, how am I going to get out of this pit? Well, let's read Philippians 1:6 together. It says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. I love that song, he will be faithful to complete it. Faithful to complete the good work that God began in you. So no matter what our lives look like today, God is still reminding us of that plan and that promise that he gave to us when we came into the world and said, I am going to be faithful to complete the good work that I began in you. You see, I love this song. It's an old song that says, Jesus knows all about our troubles. He will guide us until the day he comes. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. You see, saints, no matter how deep, how dark, how lonely that pit can seem, we all can pass the test. We all can pass the test. I was so glad GCG sung that song, and it talked about lifting up your hands, saints. You can't get out of the pit until you lift your hands up so somebody can help you out of the pit. We can keep scratching at the walls and looking around for the ladder when all we need to do is put our hands up and say, Lord, help me. Deliver me from this pit. You see, saints, in order to pass the test of the pit, we have to have confidence, saints. We have to have faith and believe that there is a God that will deliver us from the pit. You see, Jesus experienced every single test that we will or have experienced in this world. And we look at the book of Matthew from our scripture reading. We see that Jesus was being tempted by Satan for 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. He was hungry and he was tired, saints. Two things I can't stand to be, hungry and tired. Isn't it, saints, that when you're in a deep pit of life, it's like people want to egg you on and make things worse for you. So Jesus is in the wilderness. He's hungry and tired, and he's probably very lonely. And who comes along but Satan want to egg him on a little bit? He says, well, if you are God, if you are God, if you are the Son of God, and he's trying to test Jesus. And you know how we are when we're hungry and tired, saints. It's real hard to pass tests when you're hungry and tired. Because when you're frustrated, when you're feeling lonely, when you're feeling dark and blue, instead of being kind and nice, you know, we got some choice words we want to say sometimes. And Jesus, saints, he's standing here before Satan, and Satan is egging him on, and Jesus could have said, do you know who I am? You know, he could have showed some pride in that aspect. Jesus was in this dark pit, and he could have told Satan, do you know who I am? I can bring the heavens down on your head, brother. He probably wouldn't have said it that nice if he was me. But Jesus could have put everything before Satan. The battle would have been won right then and there. But Jesus was trying to teach us something, saints. Jesus was trying to show us that he has been in the pit just like we have, saints. Jesus has been down on some lonely days, and all he did was look up to the hills from whence comes his help, saints. You see, Jesus was showing us that when we are in the wilderness, when we are in the pit, and sometimes when you are in school, you feel like you are in the pit, that when we are down and out, he's telling us, depend on Jesus. God is showing us when your future doesn't look so bright, when you can no longer see the dream, depend on me to get you from the dream to your true destiny, because that's where I'm trying to take you. You see, saints, there are going to be a lot of tests that we take here on earth. And as I began to close this message, I want us to know that every single test that we've ever taken, every single test that we've ever taken, even the tests we took way back in kindergarten, are tests that are preparing us to take the final test. You see, saints, each and every test that we've taken has taught us a little bit more, has helped us to grow a little bit deeper, has helped us to have more understanding and clarity, saints, all for one test, the final test that we will all take. You see, saints, one day, each and every one of us, every single religion on earth is right about one thing, saints. We will all go to heaven. We will all stand before the Lord. The problem is, will you stay there? So see, saints, all of these tests in our entire lives have been preparing us for the final test. And one day, all of us will be standing before God. Can you imagine just looking up? We're going to be standing before God, and God will be giving us the most important exam that we will ever take. We won't have any paper or pencil. We will get one answer only. We don't get any retakes. We don't even get to choose all of the above. One answer is all we get. And God will say to you, I gave you enough tests in this life to prepare you for this final test. Can you pass the test? And then we will look at God, and God will look at us, and he will say to us, while you were on earth, when you were alive and living, you had to choose one who was going to be Lord over your life. He's going to say, you could have chose me, Jesus Christ. Or you could have chose Muhammad, Buddha, the Dalai Lama. You could have chose yourself. You could have chose materialism and money. Or you could choose atheism and not believe in anything at all. And God will look at you and he will say, when you were on earth, not while you were in heaven, when you were on earth, what choice did you make? You see, saints, when we're standing there in heaven, some of us will be looking around like, oh God, what answer did I choose? We won't know what to do. We're going to be looking for some help. We're going to be hoping the Buddha come and help us or something and rescue us. But saints, when we're standing before God and we give our answer about who we chose to be Lord and Savior of our lives, we will hear one of two comments from God. He will either look down at us and say, you got an A. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done. The heavenly gates will open up. The angels will start singing the hallelujah chorus. And you're going to be like this. Thank you, Lord, for letting me in. Or you will hear and receive the only F that God will ever, ever give. He will look at you when you give your answer. And he will say, you failed. You got an F. Depart from me. I never knew you. You see, saints, the choice is yours. The test is yours to take. My final question is, will you pass the test? Let us pray. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Gracious God, some of us are just not convinced. But you have laid it all before us, Lord Jesus. Many will say to us, there is no real one way and no one right answer. But gracious God, help us to see that you have always been in existence even before we were. That there has always been a right way in a wrong way. That there has always been an up and a down, a left and a right. That you function in order, Lord Jesus. You are not trying to confuse us. Gracious God, we all want to be prepared for your final test. Help us to see today that today is the day of salvation. And that we all will have one answer when we stand before you. Help us all to be able to answer, I chose you, Lord Jesus, as Lord and Savior of my life. We thank you, Lord Jesus, and we give you all the praise. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And the people of God said, amen and amen.